Let's take a moment to look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk, the second chapter in verses 2 and 3. And this is what it says in Habakkuk 2 and 3. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, for it will certainly come and will not delay. When you read the Bible, you see many times that when God has an idea or a purpose or a goal in mind, and he wants his people to fulfill that purpose or that goal, one of the things he will do is to tell a prophet about it. And then the prophet is to tell the people what God wants done, what his purposes, what his goals are. That's the role of a prophet. And many times in the Bible, we see that God thinks something is so important that he tells the prophet, write it down. Write it down. He did it here in Habakkuk, the second chapter. He did it with the prophet Isaiah and Ezekiel. He especially did it in the last book of the Bible, which is the Revelation. He was constantly saying to John, write this down, for this is faithful and true. God has reasons for wanting to get it in writing. It is God's way of emphasizing how important something is. And we of all generations ought to be able to relate to this. If you tell somebody that somebody else made you a promise or that you had an agreement, what's the first thing they're going to ask you? Well, did you get that in writing? Right? Real important to get something in writing. We are inundated by contracts and written agreements, so much so that we don't even read half of them, do we? Right? We just, okay, I'll sign. Right. Get it in writing because it's important. But writing down a vision is a useful thing. Otherwise, God would not have told the prophets to do it. And writing down vision statements for our church is a useful thing. For as Proverbs 29 says very clearly, where there is no vision, the people perish. You familiar with that verse? Where there is no vision, the people perish. You show me a group or organization or some gang that doesn't have a vision. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. And I'll show you a group or organization that is not doing anything or really going anywhere. Vision is important. I remember many years ago, a guy I was golfing with, and he told me about a professional golfer. I don't remember that golfer's name, but he had read where this professional golfer had a routine. Before he took a shot, he would envision how he was going to take that shot. He would imagine, he would see in his mind him stepping up to the ball and taking this step and that step and taking the swing. And he pictured all that in his head before he stepped up and did it. And that professional golfer swore that it just made his game so much better. He envisioned it first, then he did it. I imagine that an architect can literally picture in his or her mind the building that he wants to build. Got to picture it in your head first before you can put down on the blueprint or say, these are the specifications. They picture it in their minds. You know, imagination is a wonderful gift that God has given to human beings. In fact, anything we create begins with a vision. We picture it in our minds. We make it happen. Vision is vital. Now, what our vision planning team is proposing are three foundational vision statements for our church. You've got them in your bulletin there. Did you see them? We're paying attention today to the first one that is there. The first one of those three proposed vision statements. Now, each one of these three grows out of and amplifies and explains a little more part of the vision statement that we talked about last Sunday, and that is right there at the top. It attempts to define, for instance, what does it mean to be a loving community, as our mission statement says? Well, it means that we see ourselves, in this vision statement, as a growing network of Christian friends who share the good news of Christ in ways that help others connect strongly to him. Let's just take a few moments, look at a couple of these things together. It says a growing network. Growing. Why growing? Is that important? Well, when we read the New Testament, we see that Jesus, so many times when he was trying to describe the kingdom and what God wanted in the world today, he used stories. A lot of them talked about growing, didn't they? He said, look, you just take a tiny little mustard seed and it grows into a great big huge plant. That's the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is like a farmer who went out into the seed. Went out into the field and he sowed the seed, and the seed grew automatically. He didn't know how it grew, but it just grew. He said, that's the kingdom of God. Or he said, the kingdom of God is like yeast. You put just a little bit of yeast in the dough, and what happens? It makes the whole loaf grow and rise. Okay? Or he said to them again one other time, he said, nobody's going to plant anything in the kingdom of God except that it's going to come back to him or her 100-fold. That's how much the kingdom is meant to grow. Can we miss the point? Jesus says the kingdom is to be a growing kingdom. He wants his followers to grow in their faith, their spiritual life. Then to grow in numbers, to grow in influence in the world. He says, that's what I want you to do. Now we see that growth in the second chapter of Acts that Susan read for us just a little while ago. What happened? The Holy Spirit comes on a few dozen believers there, and they are just filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what happens? The church grows dramatically. How many people were added that day to the church? 3,000 souls. Amazing. Absolutely amazing growth. God is in the business of growing things, growing good things. And if we are in step with God, we are growing too. Now, we might tend to think of kingdom growth as being something kind of mechanical. You know, it happens because we're dealing with some kind of machinery here, you know, as if we are assembling a bunch of metal parts together and making something mechanical. And so we think, oh yeah, church growth is like step one. Attach part A to part B. Step two, do this, do that, and you follow all the steps just right, and voila, you have a growing church. Now, I have to confess that a lot of the church growth models out there take this kind of mechanical approach to being a growing church. But guess what? It don't work that way. Not exactly. Because are we dealing with mechanics here? Or are we dealing with human beings? Human beings. Jesus spoke of the kingdom as if it is something organic. And if we don't know that, we can't grow effectively the way that he wants to. You know, we are organisms, and every day in our bodies, cells die. And little bits and pieces of us die, right? They're being replaced and refreshed by other cells. What do our bodies do with those dead cells? Very elaborate system for getting rid of them, right? Getting them out of the body. But if you hang on to those cells, if your body did that, what would happen? The body would soon get clogged up. It would be less efficient. It would work worse and worse and worse, and it would soon die. Well, I tell you, there are too many churches that hang on to old programs, old forms, old structures that just don't work anymore. Why do they do that? Because they think that church is all about mechanics and processes. But dynamic and growing churches pay attention to function and not form, okay? They know why they exist and they know what they're trying to do. And they understand the context of the world that they live in today. Not 20 years ago, not 30 years ago, not 50 years ago. They understand the context of the world as it is today. And they say, we want to engage the world as it really is. And if something doesn't work to engage the world the way we feel called by Christ to do it, then we chuck it. We say, it's good, it was great, but it doesn't work anymore, put it aside. and we'll try this. And if that doesn't work, we'll chuck that and try what works. A living church is a changing church and a growing church. So we use that language. And we are a growing what, does the vision statement say? A growing network. Why network? Because in the 21st century here, networking is what people are all about. They connect with each other, human beings, and their groups and families, and the associations that they want to make, and they do it through snail mail, they do it through the phone, through text messages, email, web pages, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. We're all about networking, and people understand that. And our church won't grow because it has a cool sign out front. And it won't grow because we have a really neat ad in the newspaper or because we have an attractive building. I promise you, if I went out around the room today and asked people on any given Sunday, why are you here? How did you first connect with this church family? They would talk about people. Oh, yeah, because so-and-so, my friend, invited me. Because we know this couple at the church, and they seem so happy with their church network, we just had to come and show up and see for ourselves. Or they'd say something like, oh yeah, Jesse. They'd name somebody very specific. Jesse brought us to this church, and we felt at home with who we met here. Networking is how churches grow. Studies done over decades keep telling us that churches grow because their members network with other people and draw them into the group. That's how it works. So we're talking about being a growing network of what? Christian friends. Why friends? Well, because we live in a day where the word family can carry with it a lot of negative baggage. So many families are fractured and dysfunctional, and people would rather hang out with their friends, who they can choose, than to hang out with their family, who's so annoying or demanding or unloving that they're stuck with. Their friends can mean more to them than their families. Now, I'm not saying that all family networks are bad. I know a lot of healthy family networks, and they're just wonderful. They're a blessing. But there's a lot of people out there for whom family is a real turnoff. But friends, yeah, that they can relate to. You have a network of Christian friends here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church, and they are a huge blessing to you. We've been hearing about that over the last number of weeks. And you are a great blessing to people here, your Christian friends. You know that network. And then our vision statement makes very clear why we want to be a growing network of Christian friends. We want to do this so that other people will be more strongly connected to Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing it. Do you see it in the vision statement there? We don't want to grow just to be a big church. We don't want to grow just to have a neat reputation. We don't want to grow just to look good on paper and impress everybody. All that kind of stuff is vain, it's selfish, it's useless. Okay? We don't care about that. But we would like very, very much to achieve what Jesus sent his followers out into the world to do. Hey, guys, help them to know me. Connect them to me. Bring them to me. That's what the first followers did. And that's what we need to do, too. We want people to know Jesus and be strengthened by Jesus. That's why we want to be this, a loving community, empowered by Christ to serve his purposes. That's what our mission statement says. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by going out and sharing the good news with people in our day-to-day networking and relationships, with our goal being that, gee, I sure hope that he or she becomes connected to Christ too. And you and I get out of the way. Let him or her be connected to Christ. But we're all in this together, networked. In other words, our vision statement here grows directly out of the Bible. And the very clear things that God has in mind for us to do. What we're simply doing in a vision statement is restating those things in terms that 21st people understand and can relate to. Relevant modern terms. You know, 40 years from now, these words, their meanings may have changed and they're antiquated, and they need to be set aside for what other words might get to the essence of what Jesus Christ is all about. And also, we can use this vision statement to check what we're doing. Why are we proposing this certain project, activity, or event? We can test it. We can say, does this activity help us grow as a network of Christian friends? Does it find us sharing the good news in such a way that help other people to connect with Jesus Christ? Well, if it does, let's do it. If it doesn't, let's not waste our time. Let's not waste our energy. We have a vision. We know what we're trying to do, and we're guided by it. Let me ask you, if you saw a building going up in your neighborhood and you didn't know what they were building, what it was going to be, and suppose you walked over to the construction workers there and you asked them, you said, "Hey, what are you guys building?" Would you expect one of them to say, "Ah, we're building a school," only to have the other construction worker standing next to him to say, "What? I thought we were building a shopping center." And then the third guy who's standing there says, "Man, I thought we were putting up a car dealership." Would that ever happen? No, of course not. That would be lunacy. Before they start, the whole team knows what they're building. And they know what they're doing the whole time that they're doing it, too. We know what we're building. And then they work on it. That's why people shouldn't be able to walk into a church and ask, "Hey, what are y'all about here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church? What are y'all trying to do?" They shouldn't get three or four different answers, right? Oh, we might have some variations or shades of understanding there, but we all ought to be able to say, "Here's what we are, here's what we're trying to be." And that finds us trying to use these three vision statements to say, this is our blueprint. This is a place to start. This doesn't say everything, but we will benefit from knowing that we are trying to create a growing network of Christian friends who share the good news of Christ in ways that help others connect strongly to Him. A growing body is a healthy body. And if we are fed by and if we are feeding others the good news of Christ, we will be stronger. And they will be stronger too.